Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Brewers fans. We know it's a long, cold winter. But let's warm you up with the latest on the crew. It's time for Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back at the wall.
The 2019 championship season cannot get here quick enough. What an amazing run in 2018. But time to turn the page and look toward the future. Get the latest free agent signings, trades, the front office, the fans, and more. Heading into our 14th year of Brewers coverage, it's Hot Stove Weekly on The Fan. Here's your host, the franchise, Tim Allen.
And welcome in, Brewers fans, another edition of Hot Stove Weekly as we get scary close to the opening of the 2019 championship season. Tim Allen, Baby Tops, Bill Schmid, and another edition of Hot Stove Weekly where we actually have Cactus League baseball action, and that's a good thing as we get HP having a big day yesterday.
Huge day.
Nice.
Seven knocked in for HP. And I think the most interesting part about it, Tim, is this is right around last week when it came out that HP had battled through a wrist chip or a chip bone in his wrist.
We never knew that.
We didn't know it, and you and I wondered about it all year long. It felt like HP should have been getting a little bit more run than he did last year. And now we kind of know why, and hopefully a healthy Hernán Pérez is a better Hernán Pérez because he was already pretty dang good in the roles that they needed him to play the last couple of years.
Yeah, last week we took a close look and had a nice conversation about Mike Moustakas and you know, the promise of him playing second base. And so we're going to move on, and we're going to sort of process that and deal with that. But story today, obviously, Jimmy Nelson, a little bit of a setback. The organization doesn't see it as a big deal, and had a reporter not asked about it. Maybe we don't even know about it. He's just going to skip a day or two and throw his pen and then go on from there. So I will say we'll get into that. We'll ask Jerry Augustine. He's going to join us in a couple of minutes about that definition of arm fatigue and discomfort. So there's two terms there that have been thrown around in all the years of baseball. Just, I guess the other one would be dead arm, and I doubt that's the case with Jimmy Nelson. But I don't think it's a point of emphasis to freak out about because, folks, Jimmy Nelson didn't pitch for the crew last year, and they won 96 games.
No.
And we're a game away from the World Series.
But I think some of the fear in it, and I feel like it is more fear than anything, Tim, is just not knowing how much the team is seemingly counting on him as a part of the rotation, because a lot of people still believe that they could have went out and added another big-name free agent pitcher, and we're still hoping that Jimmy Nelson is the big dude that they're bringing back. And if you're not going to see him till June, see Wade Miley. You can still make a pretty good impact if you miss the first couple of months of the season.
I'm going to go back to a year ago exactly this time, and that is let's just go without Jimmy Nelson, and then when and if he comes back, then it's just simply a bonus. How about we just do
sure.
that? We've been through it before. We did it last year, and it seemed to work out quite well. I've got my fingers crossed for Jimmy Nelson to return, but again, we'll chat about that with Jerry Augustine coming up in a little bit. I texted you some pictures today, Billy, and a lot of folks, as you know, wonder what I do in the off season, and
nothing.
I do a lot of drinking.
Yep,
that's for sure. And I've been my project was to buy those bins, and I started the project last year, ran out of time, and now I have so much stuff. So I texted you pictures of the 1970 inaugural Milwaukee Brewers yearbook. 1970. So it was listed as a dollar there, as you see. Maybe we'll tweet this out. Maybe if you could tweet that out, that'd be cool.
Listed and, as and a dollar. And my favorite part is that it's in a binder, like a three-hole punch binder, that to make sure that the integrity of the yearbook is kept safe and sacred.
Yes.
And some of the artistry.
It's in a plastic sheet.
The artistry on this picture, as I don't know who in the world this is supposed to be, just some guy that worked at Miller that they put into the newfangled Brewers uniform, swinging a bat. Yeah. Looks like he hadn't swung a whole lot of baseball bats before in his life. And
It may have been Schlitz or Pabst, though.
Yeah, and then my favorite part is then there's also part of the Tim Allen text brigade that I get is the 1971 scorebook. Now, I always thought of it as a scorecard. It's a score.
Or a program.
Or a program. It's a scorebook. And this one, I mean, 35 cents you used to get these bad boys at the baseball park for. The first time I went and bought one of the score books, I think it ran me $3.50 with the Brewers pencil and it included.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that I had the 1971 score. What was it called?
The score book for 35 cents.
And look at the back of it. I took a picture of the back of that thing and sent it to you. That is, do you guys remember this? Read it right there.
It says, it's a man drinking a Schlitz, and it says, life only happens once. You get no second chances. You go for all the gusto there is. Sometimes you can even taste it. And when you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer.
Yeah, that's it. So there, I just found that was funny. And I will say that I
How
will
how much of this stuff do you have down there?
Oh God, they're just I cannot believe it. Don't we'll get into it later on this year for sure.
How mad is your girl that you just decide to bring all this stuff into the middle of the living room and just sort through all of it right at the kitchen table or so?
I do in the kitchen and in the living room. I do. I'll bring
She's
up like an old
you.
Old box that I want to get rid of the cardboard boxes. These bins are pretty cheap. Went out to the box store, they're like $10, so just start filling them up. My son says that, you know, when I was texting back and forth with him, hey, you know, I found this or I found that, he's like, you're a hoarder. And I said, hey, maybe we could sell some of this stuff and make some money. His response was, you know, I said pennies make dollars, and he said, well, and hoarders end up on TV. So
right, yeah, no, you are going to end up on some kind of television show in about 20 years with all these Brewer things getting lit on fire because somebody accidentally dropped a Marb Light that was destined to be smoked outside.
Cool Brewer stuff, and you know, part of it is, and again, I don't want to get too much into this, but part of collecting is the story behind it, not to sound like. Who's the guy? Rick on Pawn Stars. He says it's the stories or pickers or whatever. It really is, though, because you do remember kind of your first game and you grab that program and you're at County Stadium. And, you know,
oh, yeah,
all this
for sure.
Stuff. And, you know, it's the stories and the memories and all that. But then you're right. It does take up room and you'd be amazed. I found another binder, card book type thing.
This should be good.
All Brewers, just the whole book. John Henry Johnson to Chris Bosio to you name it. I mean, so I keep those of you that collect baseball cards, you know that you kept your favorite team separate, right? Didn't you?
I had all of my rookie cards in one spot, and then I wouldn't alphabetize it by like team or anything. I would more just like if I had a couple of Prince Fielder cards, all the Prince Fielder cards would go in one little slot.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm for just the whole Brewer gamut. Just one, well, not one. There's probably 10 or 15.
Yeah, 15 of them or so.
Books, binders, 3-, 4-, 5-inch binders, just completely filled. Now, these cards are, some of them aren't worth the cardboard they're printed on. Let's face it. But It's the memories. It's the Brewer love.
So would you, so in that sense, if you had, let's say, 15 Chris Bosio cards, you would proudly display in that section of the Brewer binder or one of the many Brewer binders. You would then put all 15 Chris Bosios in a row so that you could mask in all of their glory, or you would just stack them up? I don't have time.
I didn't have time for that. I just wherever they go, they go. If it's a Brewer, it goes into a different book. So there, you could see the same card on 15 different pages. Yeah. Now, jersey cards, as they hit, you know, the market, that's a little different. Those I keep separate. I do really dig those cards.
The jersey cards are cool. Yep.
Or a bat card, a piece of the bat is inlaid in the card.
That one I never got lucky enough to snag. I got a couple of cool jersey cards. I had one Hunter Pence one, and then I went to go get it autographed at the Brewer game, and then I dropped it on the ground, and it was kind of ruined at that point.
My Logan Schaefer rookie jersey card. First of all, yeah, okay, you're making a Logan Schaefer rookie jersey card.
Out of the one jersey that he wore in his 17 major league games.
Yeah, no question about it. But the Brewers off and running, so we'll get into that later on this year. I just wanted to let you know that there are other folks, and you guys know it just like me. You may not want to admit it. I'm all right to admit it and get ripped on a little bit.
Wisconsin tries to not admit it, but yeah, there are a lot more of you than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's Helmet Day and all the different helmets. I do have, I believe, every different replica helmet that the Brewers have ever had. So when I was a kid,
every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Even the old one with just the M on it. Bryant, I want to say HVAC people had sponsored it many years ago, and there was a sticker on the back of this thing that said Bryant on it. And I, you know, I remember as a little kid saying, who the hell is Bryant? I just thought that he was a player on the, no, it was just the sponsor on it. But no, I have the one with the ball and glove, obviously the M, the one with the white crest. You remember and Molitor made that classic, the one with that white, just the batting helmet had the white on it. I have the one with the yellow on it. There's probably seven or eight different helmets that I do have. Those are cool. $6 when I was a kid. I don't know what they are now. Do you know?
Probably about 15 or 20.
Really?
Yeah, I would say at least. Especially, I mean, you get it at a game, probably 27, 20, 30 bucks.
And, of course, my brother had to test it out with a baseball bat to the helmet just to see how it was. Yeah.
No, so, well, you got to give it at least one or two shots.
Yeah, that's
I used to always do that with the one that they would serve ice cream in, and that never ended up working.
Found like five of them just the other day downstairs. I don't know why I have five of these. The mini helmet that I think Dairy Queen or someone put the sundae in there.
Right.
And why do I have five of these?
You were obviously eating too many sundaes. Too many of those hot fudge sundaes with no nuts.
Jimmy Nelson, maybe a little bit of a setback, and we'll find out the definition of arm fatigue. We'll find out about discomfort as a major league pitcher, dead arm. We'll unpack that with Jerry Augustine from Fox Sports Wisconsin and former Brewers left-hander next here. It's Hot Stove Weekly, Tim and Tosh on the Fan.
Tim Allen takes your calls now. Let's talk Brewers baseball on Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is another edition of Hot Stove Weekly, warming you up with some Brewers talk and the Brewers into Cactus League action, expectations through the roof, and rightly so. They should be, and that's what happens when you're a good baseball team and the expectations. I guess we'll get into that later on throughout spring training live when we get to Maryvale, I should say. Sorry, American Family Fields of Phoenix.
American Family Fields of Phoenix.
I know, I know. It's going to take a little getting used to. Now, I did text you another, one more picture. There's just to finish up on that in my text binge as I was going through my hoarding bins and boxes. A football champion trophy that I sent you.
Yeah, that's nice. I can't believe that. I don't know. I don't know what kind of left out position you were playing. But I can't expect that you were too integral of a component into that title run.
All I know is I was a champion. It says 10. You read it right there. It's
10-0. I read it. Yep, I read it.
1975, full contact youth league football. And so just you can't say that, can you?
Yes, I can't. Nope, can't say that, Tim. I guess you got me there. You know what? Honestly, you're really the most the prime candidate here on being a professional athlete. I don't even know why we have Jerry Augustine waiting on the Great Midwest Bank hotline to even talk about it anymore. You're the athlete in the conversation.
Let's get to him right now. As all our guests join us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Jerry Augustine, the Brewers' former left-hander and current Fox Sports Wisconsin broadcaster. Jerry, thanks for the time.
Oh, good to be with you guys.
It's been
all right,
a long winter.
Let's talk about. Yeah, let's talk about Jimmy Nelson and the news pretty much front and center here as Cactus League games are underway. Jimmy Nelson, they say a minor little setback. Is it too strong to even use the word setback at all? But let's define what happens to a pitcher, Jerry, and you would know. When we hear as fans, when we hear discomfort, we hear fatigue, dead arm I think is pretty self-explanatory. But, Jerry, discomfort and fatigue, what does that mean?
Well, I think when you talk about Jimmy Nelson, you know, he's a guy who's really been sticking to his program and working extremely hard. In fact, I saw him throw on the side, I believe it was today's Monday, probably last Wednesday or Thursday. And excuse me, he threw the ball extremely well. And I thought he was really throwing the ball with a little bit of authority. And a couple of days after we talked to him, he said he felt really good, but he's going to have to go through another session. And I think when you talk about fatigue, especially from someone like Jimmy Nelson, who's coming back, you're going to have little setbacks. You're going to have times when your arm's a little bit tired. It just you haven't been in throwing actively for 17 months. You've been working out to get back to throw actively. So you're going to have those minor setbacks. And I think that's all it is. It's just a little minor setback. But I'll tell you one thing. I saw him throw last week, and I thought he threw the ball extremely well.
Now, Jerry, what about the other pitchers that are coming into this first couple of weeks? You know, pitchers and catchers reported maybe 2 weeks ago, and now you're getting into games. What is that like when you're just starting to get your feet back into a regular throwing program with the rest of your team like that?
Well, I think the big thing is you talk about pitchers and you talk about comfort levels. And every pitcher wants to get to that comfort level. You know, everybody comes in with expectations of where they want to be to start the season or what they have to do in order to make the ball club. And so I think that's where they are right now. And they start off real slow. I think that's one thing that every organization does. They don't go out and pitch a guy 4 and 5 or 6 innings. It's mainly a number of pitches that you throw just to get started, to get active, get used to facing live hitters. And you know, one thing about this spring training is they have not been able to hit, throw to live hitters as much as they had in the past because they've had inclement weather down there. So a lot of pitchers are seeing hitters for the first time. So it's just that adjustment. It just takes time, and they'll get in it. There's a lot of games. There's a lot of time left to before the season starts. So they have time to get to where they face hitters and get in games and extend themselves and build up their endurance.
Back when you were going to spring training, basically, correct me if I'm wrong, spring training at that time for you guys was actually to get into shape and get off the couch and to do the. These days, do you find that organizations have to hold pitchers and some of the players back a little bit because their regimen is year-round?
I think they do. I think there are times when they do hold guys back just a little bit. I know when you look at the Brewers and their bullpen, and especially when you look at the Jeremy Jeffers and the Corey Knievels and the Josh Haders, those guys had a lot of appearances last year. So I think when you talk about those guys getting right in the flow of things from the spring, I think they're going to take their time. They still go about during their throwing on the side. Josh and Corey and JJ have all thrown on the side. They've gone through the drills. They're going to go through it, but you won't see them in games as much. They'll take their time, maybe build it up, maybe a couple innings here and there, but it's not going to be as much as you've seen in the past because how much they were used last year. They want to make sure that, number one, they get to work in, number one, and number two, that they find that comfort level so when they start the season, they're ready to go.
Jerry, what about Chase Anderson? Yes, last year, obviously disappointing coming off the little contract that he signs and the bump in pay that he gets after a really, really, really good 2017 season. And then last year stumbles through with just under a 4 and gives up 30 bombs. And now going into the offseason, it feels like, and from all the reports, is he's found something in his mechanics to try to keep himself more on the rubber and throwing through the ball. Talk about that with the changes that a pitcher goes through, where you're finding that one thing that you really do believe is the reason why you were struggling the year before.
Yeah, I think when you talk about Chase Anderson, I think if there's anybody who is diligent about his work habits and the way he goes about it, you'd be impressed if you follow him day to day. He's really very strict and very regimented in what he does. What he did find is a little bit in the timing mechanism. I know last year and the year before, he started moving on the rubber a little bit from one side to the other side, just at the certain hitters, just to get the better angle at throwing a pitch. But last year, it seemed like what happened was he was getting out too far with his body. There's a change when pitchers pitch the ball, their body and their arm has to be in sync going to the plate to get the maximum effort in a good location. The problems that he had last year, his body was getting just a little bit out. His arm was dragging. He was not able to locate the pitch. Not only is the location bad in those when you do that, but also the life on the ball is different. You don't follow through. You don't get that good jump on the ball. And I think what he found last year, that his pace was a little bit off, making a lot of pitches, whether it's a curveball or fastball or changeup, all those pitches that he had, he was really finding the middle of the plate too much. He found it this year. He's changed his delivery a little bit. I did get to see him throw, and the day I saw him throw, I thought he threw the ball very well down in the zone, and that's where he has to be, down in the zone, and when he wants to, elevate the ball both on the outside and inside part of the plate.
Jerry, you mentioned Josh and JJ and Corey Knable and that bullpen. I've been pondering throughout the offseason, and I want to get your spin on this as well, that the opener and going to the bullpen much before, you know, we did years ago, and is that for the Brewers here in 2018 and now 2019, is that because of personnel? Or is that because of philosophy that this is the way we believe it's trending toward? I'm still struggling with that a little bit. It doesn't matter to me, because as long as they win and it works, it's fine. But is it because of the personnel, and no knock on some of the starters that they've had the last year and a half, is it because of personnel or philosophy as to how to use a staff, including the pen?
Well, I think, you look at the philosophy of what Craig tries to do. He tries to put people in games to achieve success. And he calls them out-getters, and there are 27 outs that you must get each and every game if you want to win. And I think that's his approach. Now, to say that this year coming out, will it be different than last year? I would think that they would hope it is. They would hope that the starters are healthier, the starters go longer, and really take some of the pressure off that bullpen. But at the same time, there are going to be times when certain games and certain situations when your bullpen is going to be used a lot. And I think that's one thing, when you have the benefit of having a bullpen that the Brewers have, which I think this year their bullpen can even be better than it was last year. I think that benefit really helps them. But I think when you look at this ball club, and if you look at the starting staff, and there's probably 9 guys vying for the 5 spots other than Jolys Chacín right now, if you look at those guys all vying for those spots, their attitude is not just to make this ball club and be a starter. Their idea is to make this ball club and to go deeper in the ball games, go into that 6 and that 7 innings. And I think that's what they're looking for. So it would really help the bullpen a lot throughout the year. But it's going to be interesting. I think the attitude is very positive at spring training. I think when you look at this ball club, both from the offense, defense, and the pitching side of it, everybody understands that, you know what, last year was last year. They have to turn the page. They have new challenges this year, and they understand it because this division is a better division this year. So I think what you're seeing some young guys coming in now that are not just thinking about making this club as a starter, but also being contributing by being able to go deeper in the ball games.
Talking with former Brewer left-hander and now current Fox Sports Wisconsin analyst Jerry Augustine on Hot Stove Weekly, Great Midwest Bank Hotline, is where all our guests appear on. Jerry, when you're talking with Christian Yelich, and obviously a totally different kind of offseason for Christian, and it really seemingly there wasn't an offseason. When you win the MVP, you're at everything, you're at the red carpet, you're doing this, you're doing that. And how difficult do you believe it is for a guy like Christian to now come back into camp and be ready to go right away for a season? How slow do you believe the team will take his build up to get ready for opening day?
Well, I think Craig and Christian have conversations every day about how he wants to be used, but you have to know Christian Yelich first. First and foremost, baseball is most important to him, and I think when you talk about his winter, he was flying all over. I think he was probably gone 4 or 5 days a week, but he never allowed himself not to take himself away from the game of baseball. And I think when you're the type of person he is, who's so involved in making sure that you get your routine in every day and you get your work, I don't think you worry too much about a Christian Yelich. Also, he spent a lot of the winter with Moustakas, with Saldino, and with Ryan Braun. And what not better a guy, those type of guys to work out with to keep you focused on the direction you have to be. I know we did an interview with him just the other day, and he is really focused. It's not about himself going out and being able to accomplish what he did last year. It's more about him going out and being able to help this ball club take that next step that they didn't do last year and get to the World Series. He's very focused. You would respect and appreciate the way he goes about his job each and every day.
My offseason, Jerry, has been spent going through old bins, and I'm a hoarder of old Brewer stuff and finding, you know, Jerry Augustine baseball cards and the old helmets and things like that. What does a Jerry Augustine do in the offseason?
Well, I have a business, so I work, and you talk about the American Family Field in Phoenix. I have been an agent for American Family for now 30 years. So that is my job, and it keeps me busy, and I really enjoy doing that. Now, am I coming towards the end of that? It may be, but I really enjoy it. But, you know, getting away from baseball, I don't think you ever get away from it, a franchise. I think what happens is you baseball kind of fades into the sun, it fades into the west a little bit, the sundown or whatever you want to call it, but you still stay in touch with it. The hot stove leaves starts. I'm always a guy that listens and goes on the computer every morning. I get up with my coffee and I check on what's going around about players, and I kind of think of what are the Brewers going to do this year? What direction is David Stearns and Matt Arnold going to take this team along with Craig Counsell this year? And that is very fun for me. I really enjoy that. I love the game of baseball. So a lot like you, franchise, it just baseball doesn't fade. It stays there, but you just have fun working in the offseason, seeing all the moves that are made, how teams are getting better, and what's going to happen. And I'll tell you what, I watched this division, this NL Central. It is going to be a very, very tough and a very fun division to watch this year.
It is going to be really fun. But, Jerry, now knowing that news, I got to ask you, is there any way that I could get my deductible lowered a little bit? Or do you think that you could help me with that at all?
Well, you can always get it lowered. I don't know if you'd want to. You always want to save some money, but it's something I work at every day. Just call and we'll see what we can do for you.
Yep, I tell you, I do remember those days. Just little Timmy with his camera and his autograph book and his baseball and Mr. Augustine, can you sign my thing? You were always good with the fans, man. I do remember that. Unlike some other players, I'll leave them nameless, but mm-hmm. You're always good, and you're always good to us. We appreciate the time, Jerry. We'll see you in Phoenix next week. All right.
I tell you what, you're going to enjoy it. That facility down there. Let me tell you guys, Craig Kishon and I took a tour of it just the other day. It is unbelievable. It is exactly what this Brewer baseball organization needs. And I'm going to tell you, the players are loving it, and you can really tell it in their day-to-day attitude, the way to go about their job.
Nice. Jerry, enjoy it. We'll see you next week. There he is, Jerry Augustine on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Brewers have re-signed their first rounder from 2008, and it's a unique and different situation. We'll discuss next. Big Rig from Brewer Nation on Twitter. He'll join us next. It's Hot Stove Weekly. Tim and Tausch on the Fan.
You're listening to Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Another edition of Hot Stove Weekly, and a programming note that we will be in studio next Monday, a week from tonight. After that, however, we will be from Phoenix, Arizona, and I guess the weather is going to break here pretty quick for all of us. Not just there, but for us. Now we're trapped into some cold here yet again, but we'll get there.
Apparently snow each of the next, like, 5 days.
Yeah, and... The hope, though, is, well, the light at the end of the tunnel here is that Friday is March. I mean, we do have that going for us. Still efforting Big Rig, Brewer Nation, on Twitter, and wanted to get to this. Brett Lowry signed by the Brewers. And I wondered right away, like, you know, immediately, what do? Billy, you and I do the same thing. Immediately, you go into... Where's he been? What has he been doing? Let's nutshell everything. Brett Lowry has been a little bit, there hasn't been anything. He was hurt, and then he was out of baseball for over 2 years. And so it struck me as, okay, I can see taking a shot at this. Let's see what's left in the tank. Then you look at his age. He's, what, 29? And so you're like, oh, okay.
Right. Got room in there.
It might work.
Tread on the tires.
That's right.
It's just weird, though, to me that, you know, and I don't know. I wasn't covering the team back then. You were. Sparky was. I talked to him on the big show about it earlier today. The guy just kind of sounded like not a dude that you really wanted in your clubhouse at the first time. So it's interesting to see them bring back a guy who obviously has matured and obviously has seen, you know, that there are different ways to handle your business. And then hopefully... It can work out, and he can actually play in the majors.
I know. I went over to the minor league side the year he was drafted in June. And then the following spring, I went over there to get the interview, and it was, I will say, uncomfortable. And we're both sort of probably not liking each other. I got to be honest.
Oh, so those aren't good.
So, yeah, sometimes, but it doesn't affect. I mean, you still troop through it, and you know. Both of you would rather be somewhere else. You get right. It's like a you can relate to this, Billy. It's like a date, a doom date. It's like 15 minutes in, you're like, oh man.
Yeah, you're like, I never want to see you again. Yeah,
this is not going to work out. Yeah. So you
had
know,
one of those
after,
a couple of weekends ago.
After one question, it was like he didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be there. It was somewhat respectful. It was a little with the attitude, but. Let's talk about that. And Brett Lowry back in the fold here for the Brewers some 11 years after they selected him in the first round, 2008 draft. Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, we'll welcome in Big Rig, Adam Rigg from Brewer Nation on Twitter. Hey, dude, what's happening? They're talking about the Brett Lowry deal. Your thoughts initially on that sign?
Hey, guys. My first thoughts on that sign when it was announced was, I'm curious to see what Brett Lowry's been up to since obviously he had been out of baseball for a couple of years and we knew about his injury history. And but, you know, most people that don't follow the rest of the league, you know, they wouldn't have known what he was doing.
All right. Well, let me run this by you. And hold on. Where are my notes here? I took notes on this. All right. Check this out. Brett Lowry, a minor league deal. This is an option for an additional year. And this is key because they have time on this. They set up a program for no baseball activities for 6 weeks. Quotes from Stearns. Brett has undergone a very comprehensive performance evaluation, a medical performance evaluation with our medical staff and our performance team. The plan right now is he'll spend the next 6 weeks here, meaning Phoenix, not doing baseball activities, but putting his body in the best position to succeed moving forward. It's a long period, but we've got time. There's no rush here. This is a player that hasn't played in the major leagues for 2 years. And he recognizes that there's a significant amount of work to be done before he can get back on the field and then progress to baseball activities. It's really a no-lose situation for everyone involved. All right, so I'll just stop it right there. There's more. It struck me as weird, guys, initially when they said, you know, we signed a player, but we don't want him to play baseball for 6 weeks. That part of it, it took me a little while to embrace it. Talked to Adam McKelvey off the air. He had said it's sort of a cutting-edge sports science experiment, almost, using the facility out there. Your thoughts on that, Big Rig?
Yeah, the thing I'm most interested to find out, if we ever do find out, is you know, what they were able to do with him at this new facility with all these new toys and all these bells and whistles that they have, you know, the Phoenix Field or AmFam Field or whatever the heck we're calling it. Because it sounds like Brett Laurie has gone through a series of injuries and his body keeps breaking down. So they need to figure out why that happens. Because, yeah, he may still be able to put bat to ball and he may still be able to feel the grounder if it's hit at him. But if he's not able to stand there long enough to do it consistently for 162 games, then they're not really getting an asset. They're not really having benefit from this contract. So take your time, use your facilities, see what you've got in him and what you can maybe do for him. And if he turns out to be a plus, then all the better for it. And if it's an experiment that you need to do to get there, you know, let this be your test case. Let this be, you know, your test bunny, a guy who's still young enough at 29 to contribute, hopefully. See what he's able to do and see what you can get out of that deal. And like you said, there's an option on the contract. If they're able to get him healthy, able to get him back to playing baseball at a high level, then hopefully it's useful for them, whether it's an asset on the Miller Park field or for somebody else.
And Adam, you know all about the cesspool that can be Twitter at Brewer Nation, and there's a lot of people that tweet some really interesting things on there, and they all want to react to any move that the team will make. And what's been the reaction that you've seen on social media and that your fans are getting at you with to this deal? Because it seems like to me, when I talk to people on the streets, a lot of it is it's just different to see the Brewers being or attempting to be this cutting edge with something like this.
Yeah, the initial reactions that I saw were people saying, you know, falling back on the old Brett Laurie tried and true issues where he's immature. You know, I hope he's grown up since then. You know, I hope he's not the same guy he used to be, that kind of stuff. And then when the word came out about the fact that he isn't going to be playing baseball, at least not for now, it turned very quickly into what the hell is David Stearns doing? Why would you sign a guy who can't play baseball? Stuff like that. People don't want to actually understand the story before they react to it. And that's, like you said, that's the cesspool that is Twitter. But for the most part, people are open to the idea. They're open to seeing what's there, if anything is there. You know, but there's a vocal minority that spouts off on everything. But I would say that the majority of people that have reacted to it, it is overly cautiously optimistic. Like, hey, let's just see what this might be. They understand for the most part. The Brewers fan base as a whole is very intelligent. So you see this signing come in and you want to give it a chance to say, hey, it is no risk. Like, it's no money. It's barely any money on the option, even if they exercise it. So, you know, see what might be there down the road.
That's very logical. I wish Bucks Twitter could do the same thing.
Yeah. No, but see, I understand the initial reaction because I had it the same way. But I didn't expose that to the platform of Twitter or on the air. I just sort of, I went, oh, okay. So why wouldn't you just sign like a Neil Walker type of player instead of delving into a player that, you know, number one, has had some injury issues. Number two, hasn't played baseball in a couple of years. And then number three, you're not going to allow him to play baseball. So then you let it process. You do a little digging. Make a few phone calls, and you sort of figure it out that you're right, Adam, in that, you know, it may not be a bad situation just to see what happens. And finally, the coup de grace here is David Stearns might be on the cutting edge of another amazing decision, and I won't pack it all into his brain, but he may have had some help with this. This may be the new trend in not just baseball, but in all sports, that it's the sports science. Let's figure out why some body parts are breaking down, fix them, and move on from there.
That's so smart to do, Tim, if they're able to do it, because, I mean, look how much science has advanced in certain injury recovery and injury prevention areas, but how many pitchers still have shoulder and elbow issues? how many batters still, you know, have their wear and tear, their breakdowns, their wrist injuries.
Obliques.
You know, the things that are common to, yeah, the things that are common to their positions. So if they're able to get ahead of this or make any headway in this area, it could be a huge boon to the way the Brewers are able to conduct business.
All right. Well, that's, you know, that I was asked a question. Final thing for you, Big Rig. I was asked a question last week with Chuck and Bart, and I thought it was an interesting one, and I pegged it down to this. What has to happen for the starting rotation? We'll leave you on this, but what has to happen with the starting rotation for it to be successful in 2019 here?
Well, if you look at last season, obviously that turned out to be a very successful season for the Brewers, for the starting rotation in general. But I think what they'd like to see this season, if, again, reading the tea leaves, you're cutting through the lines of the GM speak and all the coach speak and all that kind of stuff coming out of Maryvale, which is still called the neighborhood, by the way. I know the ballpark's not Maryvale anymore. But what's coming out of there is if they can get more consistent production and performance out of the main guys that they employ as initial outgetters, you know, that's going to do wonders to keep the bullpen rested down the stretch, to keep everybody fresh, hopefully, for the playoffs, and to really take that next step. Because, yes, when you have the personnel the Brewers had last year, when you have the situations that they found themselves in, you know, guys, a couple of guys in the rotation who couldn't be counted on to go a third time through the order, a couple of those guys not really a second time through the order on certain days. If you can have the guys this season go deeper into games, get more outs under their own belt, you know, not just that 15 outs, you know, twice through the order and out of the game. If you can get 18 outs, 20 outs consistently, you know, then you're turning it over to a bullpen that will be a lot less overworked. Like I said, be able to stay fresh and really make the strength of that pitching staff, which is the bullpen, that much better. So it sounds like old school philosophy in a new school age, but really, if you can have quality starting pitching, it makes everybody else better. So, but to answer your core question, what would make it a success? I think so long as they can turn it over to the bullpen late enough that the bullpen isn't completely gassed, you know, midsummer. Because what I keep thinking, what worries me about this season is when you look back to 2011 and 2012. 2011, we saw that awesome deep run in the playoffs, 96 wins, just like last year. And in 2012, that same bullpen, pretty much maybe one piece was different, just imploded over and over again once we got to midseason and then down the stretch. You know, Axford faltered, K-Rod faltered. You know, all those guys started just not performing the way that they had in 2011 and the way that you would expect them to and needed them to for the team to continue being on its good run. So if you have that happen again, knock on wood that it doesn't, but that's the risk. You have bullpen guys putting too many innings on their arm, and eventually they wear down. So, again, if the starting pitching can keep them in games deeper, I think that'll be the best situation for everybody.
Well, my boy Matt Albers is going to come to the rescue this year. So don't worry about that bullpen. Yeah. No, my answer
I'll hold my breath on that one, too.
My answer to the question about the starting rotation is one of the two has to have a bounce back year, and that's Davies or Chase Anderson. I don't care which. I think they're covered in strength in numbers. But, yeah, that was the answer. Big Rig, we'll talk again for sure, and we appreciate the time. Got to move.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, there he is on the Great Midwest Bank hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Hey, a couple of minutes left for news and notes.
Maybe about 25 seconds.
We'll be back here on The Fan. All right, did you know that Mike Zagurski, you remember him?
I did.
Bullpen?
Yes, I do.
He's a Cub. Yeah,
good for them.
He's a Cub. Dan Jennings, speaking of which, signed a minor league deal camp invite for the Angels. I would have liked to have seen Dan Jennings back.
I agree.
His numbers look good. 3-2 with 70 appearances.
I love the lieutenant.
Yeah. Let's see. Pitch clock implementation here at spring training. There's a possibility of the pitch clock moving into the regular season this year. We'll get into some of those details next week because I'm I'm a little confused by what I'm reading about the pitch clock.
I think it's a great decision. They need it.
I agree with you. But if you look at the if you look at some of the guidelines to that, is it really going to quicken things up? We'll talk about that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Jerry Augustine and Adam Rigg from Brewer Nation on Twitter. For Baby Taos, my name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. Thanks for listening, and thanks for talking Brewers baseball with us. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.